from verse 22 to verse 27. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on which I have brought on the Egyptians." And then notice the next verse, and this is important. "For I am the Lord who heals you." For I am the Lord that heals you. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. So in my meditation for tonight's time of worship, and I've been thinking about Psalm 23, verse 3, and its relevance, particularly when it comes to the importance of praying. I was thinking about the Hebrew name that is found here in Psalm 23. It's the name Jehovah or Yahweh Rapekah, which means the Lord will graciously heal. The Lord will graciously heal. And one of the key texts where it is used, where that name is first found, is in Exodus 15:26. And it is on this occasion when the Israelites had been wandering in the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They came to the waters of Marah, and they couldn't drink the water, for it was bitter. And then we read, the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And then it says this, "There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, 'If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals.'" And that is the word Jehovah Rapekah. So as I thought about this, as I was reflecting on these texts, Psalm 23 and verse 3, and then here in Exodus, it occurred to me again, a couple of things, how we are sojourners in this world. That literally means, young ones, we're passing through. That's what a sojourner is. We're passing through. And I thought about the fact that just like the Israelites, there's a parallel to our spiritual journey in this world. And the world in which we're living is a place of barrenness and dryness. Now, I'm not talking about the beauty. Obviously, the beautiful things in this world, we appreciate that. I'm talking about our spiritual journey through this world. This world is a place of spiritual dryness. And it's also a place of bitterness. And it is that way because it is a world under the curse of sin, right? It is a world under the curse of sin. And this is where we live every day. And as we live in this world, as we find ourselves having been born again, having been made alive to God, we find how often the things in this world militate against our spiritual well-being. Okay, the root of grace, even in our own hearts, is not natural. The soil of our hearts is not, it's not natural. It's not the root of grace doesn't grow in that soil. It's got to be kept and preserved, and watered and sustained by the grace of God, right? Especially because of remaining sin in us. And so this is where we live every day. And it is very easy to become worn down by it. It is very easy to become discouraged by the evil that is prevalent in the world. It's very easy to become disillusioned. by the hostility of this world. So that's the first thing. And then there's also the dryness and the bitterness of remaining sin in us. When we think about our own lives, our sin, our unbelief, our pride, our remaining lusts, our covetousness, our fear, our selfishness, it is a great source of bitterness and dryness to us. It is a great source of discouragement to us. But then there's thirdly, the dryness and the bitterness of the sins of others who affect us. Other Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. How often are we not deeply hurt by others, even by those closest or nearest to us? Their sin, their pride, their unbelief, their anger, their fear, their manipulation, their selfishness causes great sorrow and dryness and bitterness. And often we would come to drink and be refreshed by those waters, by those people who we would hope to find encouragement and refreshment from, but we find them to be bitter. And we find them to be a great source of discouragement. And again, friends, look at the text. Look at what we read in Exodus. Listen to the words that Moses writes. There he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians." What was very apparent in this trial that they were going through is that God was testing them in the desert. And God tests us in the desert. He tests us in the desert. And the question is, what do we turn to? What do we revert back to? What do we fall back on? What is our cover? What is our refuge? Do we turn to the flesh? Do we comfort and try and deal with our dryness and our bitterness in gratifying our flesh, in blocking out, in drowning out, in distracting ourselves, in worshiping our sinful desires? Do we look for validation in the things we do, in the relationships we have, in what our hands can perform? Jeremiah warns us very clearly. In chapter 2, verse 19, my people have committed two sins. The first sin is they have turned away from me, the fountain of living water. And what else have they done? They have hewn out for themselves broken cisterns. And it doesn't say that they hold polluted water or muddy water. It says they can hold no water. They can hold no water. So the very thing that we think is actually relieving us and bringing us some kind of comfort is actually, it's the furthest thing from what it's doing. It's actually killing us. It's actually destroying us. And again, I think of these words. These are the things we are tested with. And the question is, are we prepared to obey God? Are we prepared to take God at his word? Is it not often because we don't listen that we find the very diseases that were amongst the Egyptians? And you have to understand about what God was doing when he afflicted the Egyptians with those diseases. He was challenging their idols. He was challenging their self-sufficiency. He was taking away the things that they looked to for their identity. He was breaking those things down. And when we end up turning to the flesh, the armor flesh, we're going back to Egypt. And those diseases that are afflicted upon people who have those idols in their heart, they come upon us. We begin to struggle with them. We begin to struggle and be consumed by these things. And it's very clear, beloved, because we're not trusting the Lord. We're not trusting the Lord. The Lord is jealous. And any idol we put before him, he will break it down, just like he brought down the idol of Dagon, Remember what happened with Dagon? When Dagon was put before the ark, they found Dagon fallen down and the arms chopped off and the head chopped off. God is a jealous God. It will be God and God alone and nothing else. And God allows these things, this blight, to come into our lives to show us that we're not living by faith, but we're living on the flesh. But I want you to notice in this text that there's grace here. Because even though they grumbled, and even though they complained, and we can reflect on our own lives and say, how much haven't we grumbled and complained? Still, God turned the water sweet. God can take the bitter water of Marah and turn it sweet. God was still very compassionate and merciful to them. And you think about that for a moment. How often is it not, beloved, that when we realize we're not trusting the Lord, when we realize we're not clinging to the Lord, and we turn to the Lord, and God can take something so bitter and so dry and so frustrating and turn it into something so sweet and such a source of encouragement in the end, because it's from the carcass of that slain lion that we draw the honey of encouragement. And the question always comes down to this: how do we see the trials of life? How do we view the bitterness and the dryness? Do we grumble and blame God for it? Do we pretend or play to be the victim? Or do we see that all these things are tools in God's hands, causing us to see Him as our only fountain of goodness? And let me say this to you, beloved, this is part of the healing that comes to us from God through faith. This is where we discover Jehovah Rapha. This is where we see the wounds of Christ healing us. Because when we see God in the midst of the trials, when we see God in the pain and in the bitterness and in the dryness, and we hear His voice and we follow Him, and we understand that all the paths of the Lord are paths of righteousness for His children, and He leads them in those paths for His name's sake, then what happens? Then we're living by faith. And that's where God meets us in blessing. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 says this: behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. And it's interesting to note that after this trial, God led them to Elim or Elim. You know what Elim means? It means a strong tree, a mighty tree. And you know what was there? Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And so they camped by the waters. And I cannot help but think how the Holy Spirit roots us and grounds us in the love of Christ. He is the mighty tree. He is the branch of the tree of Jesse. From Him, what does the scripture say? Flow streams of living water. And when I think of those streams of living water, beloved, I think of that passage in Revelation, Revelation 22, verse 1 to 3. And He showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on the either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for? What were they for? The healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him. What a blessing. What a blessing when we keep our eyes fixed on Christ. What a blessing when we look to the author and perfecter of our salvation. What a blessing when we realize that everything Christ brings our way, everything, is for our good and for His glory. But we won't see that as long as we're focused on ourselves, as long as we're grumbling, as long as we're moaning, as long as we're getting frustrated and getting caught in the heat out from beneath the shadow of God's wings. So as we come to pray, let us pray for the Holy Spirit to help us to walk by faith, to really help us to take every step by faith, to take every thought captive. Brethren, listen to me carefully. It's the little foxes. It's the little foxes that destroy the vineyard. It's the little compromises. It's the little allowances. It's the little things that will steal your joy. Every thought captive, bring it to the Lord. Confess it to the Lord. John 14:23 says this as well, and I think it's important in this text because the healing comes when the people of God obey. It's really important for us to see that. God gave them a very clear command. He said, if you obey, these diseases will not come upon you. If you listen to me, if you submit to me, that's the same as Jesus saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You submit to me and I will keep you. This is what Jesus says in John. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. If we love him, we'll listen to him. We can talk about loving Christ all day long, but if we don't listen to him, we're lying. If we don't submit to him, we're lying. And it comes down to every decision and choice we make, friends. Only place of sweetness and refreshment and fulfillment and fruitfulness is when we lay hold of Christ by faith, when we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. The last text, and then we'll go to prayer. But I was thinking of this passage where Paul is asking God to remove out of his flesh the thorn in his flesh, right? And he said this. Three times he pleaded with the Lord, and the Lord wouldn't take it away. And this is what God said to him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And let me say this, beloved. The only way we have access to grace is by faith. That is the witness of every single Christian. The minute you turn away from trying to handle things in your own strength and you submit to the Lord and you look to him and you trust him, God gives grace, and he gives abundant grace. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.